Hey everybody, good morning. How are you? Good. Glad you're here. Glad you're in the house. Welcome to everybody that's here face to face with me. Everybody that's online this morning, we're so glad to have you joining us as well. Something new today, starting today and moving forward, our online experience is at 10 and 11:30 only. So there's some of you that got up at 8:30 today to watch, and now you're here in live. So we're glad to have you on Facebook and YouTube. And if there's anything we can do to help you guys online, please let us know. If you're ready to come back in person, I would love for you to come back to the 8:30 service, because that's the service we have plenty of space to spread out, and we'd love to have you then. I wanted to give you a little update on our sports court. This past week, our basketball hoops went in, and I think we have a picture. There we go. We have a picture of our hoops going in. They went in. This week, the fence is going in, and the actual top, the sports court top, is going in, and I lowered that to 8 feet so I could try to dunk on it. I almost hurt myself, but anyway, man, they're so cool. I can't wait to get out there and play and have some fun. If you didn't hear the update on our Built to Last campaign, we've had just about $56,000 come in for our Built to Last campaign. So thank you so much for your generosity towards that. And if you haven't been able to give towards Built to Last, you can still do that. That's going to last forever, the Built to Last campaign. So you can select that option on your online giving or on the envelope. You can write that in. I want to honor my mom and dad. They are celebrating 50 years of marriage this weekend. We love y'all. And thank y'all for your example. Thank you for being a part of our church. And actually, yesterday was the day. And so then 4.5 years later, a little boy was born. Here I am. Okay. No, it's not about me. It's about y'all. Thank y'all for being such a great example for our church. And we love y'all very much. So happy anniversary to y'all. I want to say hello online to Bill and Jennifer out in Big Bend. You guys are incredible supporters in here. We're in person when you lived here. Now you live in Big Bend, and we all want to come see you out there. All right. Can't wait to do that. I have a question for you before we get into the word. What's going to happen first? Big snowstorm like we had last year, or Cowboys win a playoff game? Which one? Which one's going to happen? Come on, I see some jerseys out there. Come on. And I know there's a hater. I know there's haters out there too. So, come on, in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bible with me to John, the second chapter. And John, the second chapter, I want us to hop into the same ideas that we were talking about last week. If you ever miss a message and you want to go back and see it, you can always go to our YouTube channel. We archive them there, Promised Land YouTube, Promised Land San Marcos YouTube channel. Easy to find. Subscribe to it. Today, we're going to start in John 2, and it's a really cool story. It's Jesus' first miracle. And you got to realize that when this story happened, he and his disciples had only been together for a few days, all right? Just a few days. And this is the first miracle of Jesus. And what I think is so interesting about this story is that Jesus' first miracle was not something like a leg being healed, or someone, blinded eyes being opened, or something that you would think would just be like, this is the first one, it's got to be important. And it was important, but it's just different than what we would think Jesus' first miracle would be. And out of this story, there's many different lessons and sermons and all that. What's cool is we get to see Jesus and his mom interact as adults. But what's so interesting to me about this miracle, Jesus' first miracle was for a party to keep going. Think about that for a second. The party was about to die, and Jesus' miracle, the first miracle of Jesus, was for it to keep going. Think about that. Isn't that crazy? Jesus, his mom comes up to him. Jesus, the wine has run out. And we see this exchange again. This is a really interesting exchange between Jesus and his mom. And, you know, he tells her, "Woman, my time has not come yet." And the woman, his mom, is not fazed by that. She's like, "Okay, servants, do whatever he tells you to do." And it's just so, it's so interesting, the dynamic between Mary and Jesus. You know that she knows his divine nature. You know that she is very well aware of his mission on the earth to save the world and all that. But at the same time, she's still his mom. And she still is able to have this relationship with him where she's like, "No, you're going to go ahead and do this." So that's interesting. And that's not a part, really, the point that I want to bring out, but I just can't help but think about all these dynamics of the story. So cool. So Jesus is then put on the spot, and we're going to read about this in John 2:6. It says, "Standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons." So these were not just little trinket jars. These were barrels, okay? These were huge pots that they were going to fill, 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, "Fill the jars with water." When the jars had been filled, he said, "Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies." So they had a wedding planner, right? The master of ceremonies. "Take some wine, or take some of this liquid, this water, and go give it to the master of ceremonies." And another thing that's really interesting here is Jesus didn't do any sort of abracadabra. There was no lightning coming out of the sky or anything like that. He's just like, "Fill it with water, now take it over there." Isn't that interesting? Still not the point I want to talk to you about today, but can't help but think about that. So they take it over. They take a ladle of it over to the master of ceremonies, and he takes a little sip, and he's astonished. He's like, "What in the world's going on here?" He goes to the bridegroom and says, you know, most of the time at a party, they say they serve the best wine first because everybody's alert and ready to taste and find wine, all that. And then as people have drank a few glasses or whatever, then they bring the cheap stuff out. "You have obviously saved the best wine for the last, for the end." And very perplexing to this person. So the none of these people know that this was a miracle. They just are making observations, which are important. But this is the part I want to get to. This is the part I want to talk about today. This verse 11, it says, "This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory." Now, I want you to think about that word glory. We're going to come back to it, but this is the first time Jesus revealed his glory or miraculous power. And then look at this last sentence. This is really it today for today. "His disciples believed in him." So up until this time, over the last few days, they'd come to know Jesus, and they had made the cognitive decision to follow Jesus, and they even got so far as to say that this is the man that the prophecies have pointed us to. And so they're starting to have this knowledge of Jesus. They're starting to have this cognitive thought process about who Jesus is, so much so that they're following him. But it's not until this moment of water being turned into wine where they believed in him. This is a big moment here. This is a shift from just being in their head to now being in their heart. And it took Jesus' miracle nature in order for that transition to happen. Basically, the fact that Jesus took water and metamorphosed it over to fine wine metamorphosed their heart, changed their hearts, shifted everything in them. It was a moment where the miraculous nature of God was personally made known to them. It was a big moment. It was a picture. It was a, as I said last week, a window for them to see into who Jesus really was. And what I want to get across to everybody here today is that God wants each of us to have our own presentation of himself. You know, coming to church, doing religious things, being around people, having family members that are in a relationship with God, just, you know, all of those things are good, but it's kind of like the disciples, you know, it's just that first step of being aware, kind of being conscious of Jesus, you know, dabbling in it, kind of having inklings of God or whatever. But each of us is to personally be exposed to the miraculous nature of God. Because if not, it's just a tradition. It's just a religion. This is just a club. But that's not what God came to give his life for. He didn't come to give his life so that we'd all just kind of be robots all performing a certain function. Instead, he came so that each of us would personally be connected to him and have our own picture of his miraculous nature, of his realness. And basically what that means is that each of us are going to have at least one, if not many. I can personally go back to many different pictures of my life, moments of my life. Each of us will have our own picture where we just say, I could not have done that by myself. I could not have felt that by myself, done that by myself. Those people could not have done that by themselves. In fact, this picture of the disciples where they believed in Jesus, I wanted to talk to you about this specific part, this party that's being extended. That's the disciples' picture that made them believe in Jesus. It wasn't even something that Jesus did for them personally, other than them having another glass of wine. Okay? Are y'all? I hope you can start to have a bigger understanding of how Jesus can make himself known to you. I can go back to a time when I was, I don't know, in college. And I was praying at the altar at church after most people had left. And I just remember praying there and just crying and weeping. And there was just the voice of God, really, that came to me in that moment. And that it's hard to explain. I can't really articulate that well. But it was a moment that I had with God that I remember thinking, I will always think about this moment. This is a moment where I just know that God's real. I just know that he loves me. I just know it. And this is a personal thing with me and God at the altar at a church that I can always hold on. If everything else falls apart in my life, I can go back to that moment and say, I know that was real. Fast forward several years till I'm sitting on the floor of a bathroom crying with my back against the wall, literally. It was the worst day of my life. And I remember crying in that bathroom in that very, very tough time in my life and thinking, God, I know you're with me right now. God, I can feel your presence with me right here in the most difficult time. And so I know that you're real. And I know that you're tangible. And I know there's no way I could get through this moment if you weren't with me and you weren't real. So I can hold on to that moment. I can know that he's real because he was with me in that moment. I can feel it and I can touch it and I can, it just gives me peace. So I want to talk to basically two types of people in here today. Some of you haven't ever had that before. And I just want you to relax a little bit. We're not trying to brainwash you. We're not trying to push anything on you that you don't want or that I'm not trying to like figure out the perfect argument to try to convince you that God's real or that he's gonna, you know, make a difference or whatever. I just want you to know that God wants to do that for you. I don't have to do that for you. No one else has to do that for you. But I hope that you will at least open your mind today to go, God, I would like that to happen to me. I would like for you to be made known in my life. I'm here to tell you today, he wants to do it. He is doing it. He's going to do it. All right? That God loves everyone so much, he wants to make himself known to you, and he's going to. I promise you. So don't fret about it. Don't worry about it. Don't stew over it. That's why when I hear people talk to me about their doubts or whatever, I know that I don't have to be the one to fix that or save that person or convince them or whatever. I just trust that God is going to do it in that time. Now, there's another group of people in here today that have had an experience with God. God has made himself known to you. You're sitting in here today and you have faith in him. It's not just in your head. It's also in your heart, and you are living it out. So I want to talk to you as well. These disciples had that experience. They followed Jesus for 3 years after this wedding experience. And then Jesus is about to transition into heaven. He's already died on the cross, was buried, and then on the third day rose from the dead. Now he's about to transition into heaven. He says this in Acts 1, 7 and 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He's talking to all of them that are standing out there with him. About 120 people are there. And you will be my what? Witnesses. You're going to be my witnesses when the power of God comes into you. And you're going to tell everybody everywhere about me. Jerusalem, that's in the city. Judea, that's in like the county state area. Samaria, that's the country around them. And then to the ends of the earth, other places, other countries. You're gonna be a witness. I wanna tell you in here today, you watching online right now, that you are gonna be activated by God to be a witness. Now that word witness is very important. It doesn't say you're gonna be my judge. It doesn't say you're gonna be my lawyer. It says you're gonna be my witness, which means all you gotta do is tell people about the experience that you personally had, your window, your water into wine experience. What was it in your life that made the difference for you? Could you share that with somebody? Colossians 1:27, for God wanted them to know that the riches and glory, there's that word glory again. Remember he said in John 2, it says this is the first time where Jesus revealed his glory. Now it says the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles. That means all the people in the entire world, sinners, saints, people that know about God, people that don't know about God, people that have messed up a lot, people that have been, you know, goody two-shoes, everybody. And this is the secret, that Christ lives in you. And this idea that Christ living in you gives you the assurance of sharing in his glory. That miracle nature that was expressed in the water into wine and all the glorious things about God, that's his glory, the good things, is now gonna be a part of your life. You're gonna share in that glory. So it's gonna be in us. That's the picture of God in us. And so turn to your neighbor right now and say, God's in you, Christ in you. That's what that says. Christ lives in you. Christ lives in you. Like I said last week, some of y'all don't want to point to them because you know what they were doing yesterday. You were at the house, okay? I'm not sure Christ is in this one. We're prophesying over them right now. I'm believing that Christ is going to be. Point to yourself right now. Christ in me. Christ in me. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Not that I get all A's, you know, at school. Not that I get the lead in the play. That's not where I get all my glory. Not that I make a lot of money. Not that I finally get married or have kids or any other thing. But no, Christ in me, that's the hope of glory in my life. So we're calling this series, and we're in this little 3-week series called Christ in Meme. Christ in Meme. Which is a little different, right? How many of y'all like a good meme? A meme is this short, quick picture with some words on it that pack a punch. And they're usually funny, right? A meme has a picture and some words on it, and It's not just funny, but like any joke, it has a little bit of truth in it, right? A little bit of oomph in it underneath the surface. And it's either about, you know, your, you know, something about the government or something about your work or something about politics or politicians or COVID or the Cowboys winning or losing. I mean, there's gifts or memes about, you know, each side of that. I found one that I believe this is what the disciples would have used if they were using memes back in the day. Go ahead and show this picture. This is, to get it, you kind of have to read the top, right? You have to read the sign over the bottle. Jesus was here. That's funny, right? And that's kind of what happened, right? It tells a story. So memes are nothing new. I mean, they're kind of new on the internet, but the concept of mimetic transfer, meme is short for mimetic transfer. This is a meme. I'm transferring information to you in a funny way, but it's actually sending something cultural to you, something, there's a transfer of information from me to you in a small punch, a small pop, right? And so the idea of taking your testimony, your witness, and putting it in such a bite-sized form that you could create a meme of your picture on the gospel, your personal story of what God has done for you in your life. It was first written about by a man named Mike Breen in a book called Speaking Out. And so if you want to get more information on this, read that book. It's a great book. But I wanted to share with you the meme that I came up, just as an example. This is just an example of a meme that I came up with for, you know, a picture that I feel like is a quick and easy way to show people the gospel through my life. And this is what it would look like. Who is broken and who is whole? When you look at that picture, it's kind of perplexing. Which one? Who's whole and who's broken? If you look at the outside, you would see me on the left. Man, I look good, right? I'm a pastor. I'm praying. I got it all together. On the right-hand side is my daughter, and she is physically disabled. You can see that by the picture. So on the outside, it would be like, well, you know, the guy on the left is whole. The one on the right's broken. But thank God that's not the way God looks. God looks differently. God looks on the inside. God does something below the surface. And I can tell you quickly that my daughter, Kennedy, is the most whole person that I know on this planet right now. If you get to know her, you realize that she has a life of peace and a life of joy and a life of wholeness that we would all be jealous of. And it's really because God is in her life. And when I realized that God accepted my daughter and loves my daughter before she can do anything, before she can say anything or you know, walk or perform or do anything like that, when I realized that God loves her and accepts her and that's his daughter, wow, that was so profound for me. So the answer to the meme is that we're actually both whole. But I'm not whole because I am a good pastor. See if I can get it just right. And that you think I'm a good pastor and I speak well or I pastor well or I help build this church or I'm a good dad or a good husband. That's not why I'm whole. Because I can tell you for many years, even as a Christian, as a believer, I chased after the acceptance of people and trying to maintain control of my life. I mean, just, I could go on and on, but when you see this picture, you'll know that I'm whole because of what Jesus has done for me on the inside. He accepted me and loved me before I performed anything. Okay, that's the gospel of Jesus through the picture of my life. And it really, what's so cool is that it's through my daughter, someone else, that was attached to me. So this is just an example. This is not your meme. This is my meme. This is what I can help share the gospel with people. And I want to encourage you to dig this week. I'm giving you homework this week to start looking at your own personal life. Now, some of y'all have these big moments and you already know, like, man, you know, I was addicted to drugs, or I was coming out of a divorce, or I was at the bottom of my financial life, or I was literally in jail, or, you know, I saw a beam of light. I mean, some of y'all have these big stories like that that you can tell, and you've already thought about it. There's other people in here that have a relationship with God, and you love Jesus, but there's not one of those huge type of moments. And what's incredible to me is how often we as believers forget what God has done for us. And don't worry, that happens because you're human. And I want you, if you've ever, you know, heard about the Old Testament, the Jewish people forgot about God's goodness in their life over and over and over. He delivered them from slavery, and just a few weeks later, they wanted to go back. They forgot how good God was. He fed them out of the sky food, and they ate it for a while, and then they got bitter and forgot. So the fact that we do that's just human nature. But I want to shake us up a little bit. I want us all to not be apathetic or lazy or delinquent with what he's told us. We need to be a witness. And if you're sitting there looking at me going, well, he's a witness, and we're just going to kind of kick back and watch Robin go for it, that's not what Jesus is encouraging for us to do. He's wanting everybody to be activated with your own story, with your own witness. Okay, so here's the homework I want us all to do this week. And we're going to post this online, on Realm, on our social accounts. We're going to email it to everybody tomorrow. But I want us to put up this next slide. This is what we're going to call the landscape of life. And you see the solid line go up and down and around. That's the solid life. You know, it's kind of like your life journey. And then here are four different ways that you could have a, you know, water into wine experience. So the first one is what we're going to call eruption. These are the good things that happen in your life that just like pow, all of a sudden, you know, just the goodness of God just pops out on the scene. This is an eruption. You didn't do anything. Nothing happened. You know, just God shows up. You know, won the lottery. Someone gives you a raise. Someone gives you a new whatever. Da 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 da. That's just God's presence making himself known to you. The next part is what we're going to call erosion. This is slowly over time when life wears you down. It's a season of life that's kind of, you don't even realize it at first, maybe just over time. And then at some point, there's gold exposed, you know, at some point in that journey of that erosion. The next one is earthquake. Earthquake is that sudden, tragic situation that's happened in your life. A diagnosis, someone walking out on you, betraying you, divorcing you, leaving you, a family member abusing you. These are heavy and hard. These are earthquakes that happen. And then sometimes there's excavation where we will ourselves just like, I want to find God. And you're fasting and you're praying or you're seeking out God in a spiritual act of excavation. And so in each one of these types of situations, the presence of God can be made known to you. And it's, remember, it's one of those experiences where you say, I couldn't have done this by myself. I couldn't have made it by myself. So in the high moments, it's like, wow, there's no way I could have done that to earn this greatness of God. Or in the earthquake, it's like, wow, I couldn't have made it through this earthquake without God. You know, that kind of thing. So I want you to do some excavation this week. And here's some questions that I want you to wrestle through in small groups. Those of you in small groups, you're going to be talking about these questions. These are the questions. Number one, when have I seen unexplainable positive things happen in my life? When does that happen? Think about it. You know, do some inventory. Number two, when have I experienced a slow process of life wearing me down? That's that erosion. When has there been a time when life has just slowly wore me down? Number three, when have I experienced a quick traumatic situation in my life? That's the earthquake, all right? And then number four, this is the most important question. This is kind of the whole point of this. Number four, what role has God played in the beginning, middle, and end of those situations? So some of you may not have one of those. Some of you may have stuff on all three. That's great. Just talk through it, think through it. Those of you in small group, y'all gonna be wrestling with these, back and forth, talking about these. If you're not in a small group, I wanna encourage you, get the email, get on social, get on Realm, and chew on these yourself. Find someone, you know, find someone else you can talk to about this to really help you start thinking about what are the pictures of my life where God has really began to make himself known to me. So unexplainable, positive, slow process of wearing down, and then quick traumatic things. And then what has God done in the beginning of those situations, in the middle, and in the end? And you don't have to have like a nice bow on this and like have it all figured out in the next few days. But I want to encourage you to go in and do some work. Go in and dig some of this out. And what this week is going to do is start just kind of getting those wheels turning. And then next week, I want to really help you turn the corner, okay, and be able to go be a witness. Once you stand to your feet right now, I want us to pray, and then we're going to worship a little bit longer. But would you join with me? Just bow your heads, everybody online, everybody in person. I'm believing that each and every one of us is going to really, number one, if you haven't experienced God, just say, Lord, I'm open. Lord, I'm open. And those of you that have, Lord, reveal to me during this week, excavate my heart. Lord Jesus, we come to you, and I just pray that John 2, the story of the water turning into wine, Lord, I'm praying that Acts 1 and 8, that we're going to be filled with power. And then I'm praying, God, Colossians 1:27, Christ in us. Each of these scriptures, each of these passages would be like seeds going down into fertile soils of our hearts and going to produce great, great growth. And God, that those that have yet to feel you or experience you or know you personally, Lord, that would begin to happen like great blossoms on a flower, on a fruit tree, Lord, that there would just be spring and that there would be new beginnings in people's lives, God. Lord, we're open. We're open. Come on, let's all just say that to God right now. Lord, I'm open. My heart is open for you to be made known to me personally. God, I'm eager to see a picture of you. And if there's a situation in your life right now where, man, you could use him right there in that moment, go ahead and tell him, God, I need to see you in my marriage. I need to see you, Lord, in some way in my financial life or my physical health or my kids. Lord, I'm eager to have you just be made known to me in my life, Lord. Let be made known to me in my life. I pray, come on, Lord Jesus. Come on, Lord Jesus. Fill us like Acts 1 and 8. Come on, let's just say, Lord, fill me. Fill me with the Holy Ghost, God. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your joy. Fill me with your peace, God. I'm eager to feel the presence and the peace and the mighty, mighty love of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.